I'm going to go through this real quickly. I'm going to call the meeting to order. It's 3:32. I'm going to do the roll call. I'm here, of course. I'm looking for, Myla is not here, will not be. She asked for an excused absence.
Why not let the secretary do the roll call?
Because the secretary's not here.
I'm looking at him.
Hi. Hi, Aki.
Yeah, hi. Now, where is Otis? Is that every stream?
Yeah, we're on the stream, and we're doing the call to order.
Okay, all right.
And you get to do the roll call.
Okay, here we go. Christina Averroes. Lyndon Foley. Steve Kukera.
Steve's here.
Yeah, Steve's here. Apo Martin.
Here.
Thank you. Fred Dodworth.
That's me.
Myla is not here. James Sagerton.
Myla just showed up.
Okay. Judy Hewitt. Not here. Okay. Michael Woodson.
I'm here.
Thank you. Stephanie Wells.
Here.
Thank you. I'm here. And Makisha is here. Okay.
Now, I think, Myla, did you have to say yes, you're here?
User one is Serene, right?
Yeah, usually it is.
Sorry, I couldn't. I was having trouble unmuting, but I jumped away from another meeting to be with all of you.
Oh, Myla is here. Great.
Yeah.
Okay.
She asked for an excused absence, but she's here.
Okay. Very good.
So we have quorum.
Yeah, we have 4 out of 5. Yep.
Which is great. That's more than I expected. Can you read the agenda, please?
Sure. So, court order, we did the roll call. Then we'll approve the agenda. Approval of the March 24th minutes. I have, correction for Marple, Martin, and Steve Kukera. So, basically, we'll be approving the last correction, which is from, 2 iterations of correction. So we'll do that. And then basically we do ED report from Stephanie and then discussion of the policy manual, which has been postponed a couple of times. So basically that's it.
Oh.
I would like to amend the agenda if possible.
Sure.
I'd like to move the discussion of policy manuals to the end. And before that, I'd like to have us discuss central services and an issue dear and dear to Myla's heart, the scheduling of our meetings.
Okay. All right, so there are 2 items. We'll move up the discussion on the central services before the policy manuals, and we'll also discuss the meeting date because there seems to be some conflict on 3rd and 4th Tuesdays. Okay. Is any objection to changing that?
There are no objections. That's so moved.
Okay.
So let's immediately go to the we approved the minutes. I didn't hear any objections, so I'm going to assume they're approved. Let's go immediately to the ED report and to, I think, Stephanie, why don't you take this from here?
One question. We didn't approve the minutes. You should have a motion for that. And, I think there's some confusion here about what's to be in the minutes. Cause I think.
No, there's not any confusion. You both have submitted stuff and I'm going to let Aki make that determination. We're not going to argue about the minutes. We're not going to argue about your minutia.
Oh, the minutia. Oh, minutia.
Yeah. Are we clear?
Well, I'll try.
Probably not.
Well, I'll try to, get it. I'll incorporate both of them so that you'll be in some sort of a coherent piece of paper.
Thank you. Stephanie, can you?
Chair, this is James. I'd like to be heard.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I didn't quite hear exactly what Aki said. He said he was going to incorporate
both
the suggestions.
Visions.
All of them?
I think there are a lot of, comments and all that, which doesn't belong in a minute. So I'll clean out and put in, you know, portions of what was suggested by the two people, which is all relevant. And then I'll just simply submit that to the group.
Okay. So in that case, I would move that we consider these minutes at the next meeting then.
Sure. That's fine.
Thank you.
Hearing no objection, we're going to do that. Stephanie, would you like to take the floor?
Yes. And I'm going to direct some comments or questions to everybody that Markeisha and I are looking for so we can make sure that she can answer what we need and then get out of here fairly quickly. So before I sort of throw into the ED report, as we've sat through some of these meetings before, there's been conversations, and I know we'll discuss this probably later, as to when we'll meet. Is it quarterly? Is it monthly? But I know that there has been discussion in emails about what reports the committee would like to see from each of the divisions. And some of those I wanted to have Markeisha in on the call so she would know and we get a better understanding of what everybody wants to see and then why there are some difficulties at times getting those numbers and reports from each of the divisions.
And Aki, I need to note that Jan Goodman has also stepped in. And
okay.
Has Serene identified herself?
I'm here.
Thank you. So that's okay. Good. Go ahead, Stephanie.
So I just wanted to ask the committee what you're looking for when we do, when we have these meetings and what, cause I'm trying to find the original email, that I think Fred, you had sent out about.
I had.
Okay. What you want from Markeisha and I when we have these meetings, and then she can give kind of a better understanding as to why we get some of those reports from people, why we don't, and that, you know, just kind of the, we just want to make sure that we're giving you what you need when we have these meetings.
So I sent out the email. So let me explain what I'm looking for. This is the National Finance Committee. We have approved budgets for each of the divisions, and I want to get some sort of update on how we are progressing and whether we are meeting our goals or whether we are falling behind, so that we can take such actions as are necessary to make sure that we actually are able to pay our bills. Typically, that's done quarterly because that's how it's done at the Fed and the state level. So that's what I was asking for. But I'm not asking for an absolute to the penny accounting. I'm asking for trends. I'm asking for rough estimates. I want to make sure that all the divisions are garnering new subscribers and new money for our expenses. And I wanted that to be broken out, if possible, in terms of new subscribers versus renewed subscribers, and also in terms of non-subscriber incomes.
Can you all hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. So what I think you're looking for is a report that needs to be run from the donor database. It can be done monthly, it can be done quarterly, and it'll give the breakdown of funding received in particular streams. So say it's car donations, end of year gift, a matching gift, a corporate match, all that kind of stuff. Those reports need to come out of the donor database. They will also show where it will show the number you're looking for about new members, sustaining members, how many people did we get in this quarter, in this year from this drive. Does that sound like something that you're speaking about?
God bless you. Really? Yes.
Okay.
I mean, I've run businesses and I had to have those data every month, but I'm not asking you to do it monthly. I would like it at least quarterly, but if you can do it more often than that, I would love it.
So what I can do is I can get the person in Houston that is very familiar with the donor database to probably draft up the template, and maybe we can run it back and forth between the finance team to see, make sure that it has everything that we're looking for so that she can set it up as a template. And great. then we can request all that same information. We'll run it for everybody that uses the same donor database, which there's only three that use the same one and two that don't, which we've been working to try to get that change. But still, we can still get that same information and generate that report where it looks exactly the same with the same information every month or quarter as requested.
Whatever you can, you do it without overloading your not existent staff.
Okay.
I'll do the but at least quarterly.
Okay, at least quarterly, yes.
By the way, Judy had joined the meeting too.
Julie, hi Julie. So now we have everybody.
Yep.
We have a full house.
Yep.
And then we will also add to that then an update on, with the affiliates. They keep good records. So we will, you know, we'll add that as well. That includes any additional, you know, with how they are as far as getting their affiliate fees paid, what percentage they're at for the year, any new affiliates that joined, that kind of thing. So, and they get occasionally, you know, donations as well, but we can get a revenue chart from them as well.
Fine. That would be great. Steve Kukulis got his hand up.
Yeah. I think if we got a regular report on the central service, contributions, that would answer a lot of questions. Cause if they're making central services, they're making their payroll and, they're on budget. It just simplifies things in my mind.
So, the only people currently making regular central services payments would be W, T, and A.
There are two W's.
WPFW. I'm sorry. I go by the last letter. I'm sorry. So W.
So W, T, and A.
Yes. And, I had started putting together a report that goes back to FY23. Now, going back that far, everyone was not paying regularly. I will say that there are some discrepancies there. But I and K are not, I has not paid, central services. So back in 2024, we had started a thing where we would take additional payroll funding, from each station that was not paying central services to kind of, we would take a portion, not the full amount, but a portion to kind of help offset it. We did that up until May of last year. So ever since then, we have not gotten a dime from, BAI in regards to central services. K has paid maybe twice since then, but for the most part, yeah, they're not funding. They're not pulling their weight.
Thank you. And Steve had brought up the issue about central services and noted that there are two cycles and that there are 26 payments that are coming from KPFA, which is why it looked like KPFA was not keeping up. But actually, they are keeping up. They're just keeping up on a 26 cycle based on every 2 weeks rather than a quarterly cycle. And so KPFA has not been behind on the central services. Is that correct?
They are not behind for 25 and 26. Now, before that, starting in 23, when I took it over, there was at least a year where they didn't make any payments.
Okay.
So when
I can't go backwards. I can only go forwards.
Okay. Right. So when people say that they're current, they're not really current. Yes, you may be current in the current fiscal year, but you are still, those bills just were never paid, just like with your light bill. Even though you didn't pay it, it was still due. So.
Yeah, we're trying to avoid that discussion because then we get into this whole WBAI thing and I don't want to go there.
Okay.
So, but currently if we can get everybody up to speed, then we're doing a damn good job.
And yes.
That's our goal.
Yes.
With the NFC, we're not trying to collect past two bills. We're just trying to pay the ones we got.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Stephanie, you got more to tell us? Or Markeisha?
Sure. Are you watching the stack?
I will go ahead and let any questions for Markeisha come forward now so then she can go, and then I'll go into just the ED report.
James, is your question for Markeisha or for Stephanie?
It's partly for Markeisha. It's partly comment on what's been said. So it's a mix.
Go ahead, please.
Oh, I'm sorry if that pains you, Fred.
Well, you know, we're trying to get Markeisha out of here because she's made a special effort to be here right now.
I appreciate that. I will simply say, while I appreciate Markeisha very much, I think she should be at way more of these meetings than she is, and I'm glad she's here now, and I hope she can have some patience with us. So about dividing the reporting on the different types of revenue that we're getting, that's very important because otherwise we have no way to tell what's working and what's not working. So I'm hoping we can break that down, as was said, to car donations, you know, regular listener donations, major donors. And I don't even know if we have a separate category for institutional kinds of donors. You know, when we get money, large amounts of money from unions or from grants, we should hopefully be able to break all of that down so we can see where the money's coming from, where we can put more effort in, and you know, hopefully eventually have a program where we're encouraging people to make bequests. I have heard some public announcements on the air about putting the stations in people's wills. That's all good. But, yeah, it's really important that we can break that down so we can know what's going on. And so thank you, Markeisha. I know that's extra work for you. I know some stations used to do that, and I think that would be good to revive that whole thing. I'll just leave it there for now.
Great. So any other questions for Markeisha?
Steve's hand is up.
Well,
yeah, Markeisha, was that year of central service lapse related to a judgment? It got paid?
No, I wouldn't. No, I don't think so.
So what Steve is referring to is that there was a judgment against the network due to some actions made by some of the people at WBAI that ended up with a $310,000 award that was seized out of KPFA's account by the sheriffs. And it was my understanding, and I could be definitely wrong, was that our Maria Negrette was applying the difference between what was taken out of her account and what our central services would have been to try to recover the protected account that was donated for a specific item and a specific use.
Point of order.
Part of that, if I can answer, part of that was for that, and then that continued, it continued for a while after that. So there was close to, I believe, 360 some odd thousand that was not paid in central services. So it was,
And the judgment was 310,000.
Correct.
My point of order.
What's your point of order, Myla?
I'm just wondering if this should be a executive session discussion or not. I'm not clear about that. It seems like we're treading into legal issues that might be better discussed.
Yeah,
sure. I'd like to be heard on that when you get a chance.
Honestly, I had forgotten that we were actually streaming, so I may have erred by bringing some of those issues up. I don't really know.
Chair, may I speak?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree with Milo. This is a personnel issue, and it's all about who decided to do that under what authority, and we should discuss that in executive session.
Great. Colin User, you're not a member of the thing. You don't get to ask questions.
Well, my question is about the
You don't screen. Get to ask questions, okay. Serene. You don't get to ask questions.
But
that's part of the rules.
Simple question. Are
no,
we supposed to be
you
screened?
Don't get to ask questions. Thank you. James, you had your hand up again.
Well, I didn't put it down or part is for the last part of the conversation, but
right.
I think what Serene was asking is, are we supposed to be streaming or are we streaming? And I believe we are, right?
We are streaming. It is my understanding. Yeah. We are on the stream.
Thank you.
I'm getting calls that we're not. That's all I was trying to add. Thank you.
Well, those calls should go to Otis. So Stephanie, it's back to you. And you're muted.
Sorry. I believe that that is everything that we needed, Markeisha with, just so we could both get the same conversation as to what everyone is looking for on the committee. Other than that, I'll just go into my regular ED report highlighting fund drives and special events and things like that that are of a financial nature.
Markeisha, thank you so much for taking time out of your day and your for meeting with us today on this holiday for your son.
Thank you. No problem.
Thank you, Markeisha. Fred,
thank you, Markeisha.
Thanks. All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Fred, I'm just jumping in to tell you that I just checked, and luckily we were not streaming, so that's a good thing.
Good.
Would you like me to contact Otis?
Would love you to contact Otis. And in fact, anybody who knows that we are not streaming should please feel free to just contact Otis. It doesn't need to be approved by me. I was under the impression that we were on the stream.
Right. Well, we should have been. But, I mean, luckily we weren't. So you know, it's all working out.
Good.
When I got on, it said we were recording.
Yes.
And I'm looking at it. And it says cloud recording is on right now. So we're recording, not streaming.
Okay.
I guess that's
our Paul, call Otis and tell him to put us on the stream. Okay, Stephanie, back to you.
I'm about to do that, Fred.
I think somebody's
thank
doing,
you, Myla.
Doing it.
Okay. We are actively engaged in the preparation of our audits. They're working right now on completing at the same time fiscal years 22 and 23, which is IRS years 23 and 24. But those will be completed by late June, mid-July. And then we're moving immediately into the next two fiscal years, which is 24, 25. And that will be completed by, we're hoping, the end of November, early December of this year. So everything is moving forward with that. They give us notification. There's a dashboard that the company has that we, both Markeisha and I, are logged into. Our audit committee will also be able to log in as viewers. And it's basically just a project management dashboard. So every time that we are uploading information or they have a request to us, which usually we need to provide that information within 24 to 48 hours, both Markeisha and I get a notification and then we can log into the dashboard and upload the necessary forms and paperwork and information that they need. All of the general managers and the station's business managers or whoever the staff person is that is there that manages the finances are well aware that we're actively in the midst of our audit preparation. And so when we get a notification, we then forward that to the station if we don't have that information and they have 24 hours to upload it because we usually have between 24 and 48 to do it. So everything is moving forward quite smoothly, as well as completing all of the taxes for years 23, 24, and 25.
Excellent.
The, scrolling down, we have, doing wonderful, on March 28th, we had great coverage of the Pacifica National coverage of the No Kings protest. We had, the broadcast spanned 6 U.S. time zones and it featured 26 paid reporters. We have regional co-anchors, and dedicated production and engineering staff. The special programming, was produced by Robert Hemily from WBAI in New York and hosted by Jenna Flanagan, also from WBAI in New York, and also managing the production of it as well as Ursula Rudenberg. And
excuse
both Bob
me,
and
yes, Stephanie, I think we're getting feedback. Maybe not. I'm sorry.
The feedback we were getting was from your screen, Myla. So go on, Tiffany, please.
That's okay. Ursula and Rob, Ursula and Bob have both agreed to serve as the Pacifica News startup coordinators, and their job is working with Pacifica management, station leadership, producers, and affiliate
partners. Pardon me. Can everybody who's not speaking
and they are working to develop a framework for strengthening our national news collaboration across our stations and our affiliates. And the news team that we have is meeting every week, every Thursday morning, and we have representatives from each of the stations. And one of the things that is very exciting that has been launched is a daily global headline news service. So every Monday through Friday, we deliver news. It's updated 3 times per day. And we have a reporter based out of the Netherlands, Jesse Lent, who has been working with WBAI. He was hired by the national office to help with this. And he's producing a 5-minute daily international headline segment. And then it moves to KPFA, who updates that, updates the news feed at noon. And then it goes back to WPFW, who updates the feed at 5 o'clock. It's being uploaded to AudioPort, and we have multiple affiliate stations as well as our own stations that are downloading it and using it. So you can hear the local headlines on the you can hear it on most of the websites of the stations. You can go and log it in, but it's definitely on the WBAI homepage. You can, there's a little green box up in the corner that says Pacifica Network News, and you can just click on that and hear the 5-minute daily headlines. As far as what the, we're also doing a May Day coverage. We've been working quite a bit on that, the news team, and it's going to be 5 hours of live coverage, covering events, protests. We're bringing together the stations and the affiliates again to deliver a comprehensive reporting from across the country. We're going to be highlighting and interviewing labor rights, immigration justice, a lot of the grassroots organizing. We're going to be combining live field events, local programming, shared national content. We're also going to be covering WPFW is doing a wonderful job creating international interviews with international reporters to cover the impact of labor and things that this nation is doing that's affecting everybody across the country. So that's going to be starting, I believe, at 10 o'clock Eastern, and we'll go for 5 hours with new programming basically every 15 minutes. And once again, we have reporters from across the network that we are paying stringers to help with this. They get a daily SAG-AFTRA rate. And then we have our news directors that are leading this from across the country with leadership from Bob and Ursula, and also Lauren Schmidt from KPFA, who will be going to Los Angeles to help the interns that we have from the Los Angeles Community College, LACC, that are going to be out on the field doing reporting. And since we don't have a really strong news team at KPFK, KPFA's news director has volunteered to go to KPFK and help do that coverage there in Los Angeles and help build up that team. So that team right now is meeting every week, and then the last 2 weeks we've been meeting every 2 times a week to get this whole process going. And again, that's being executive produced by Bob Henley and Ursula Rudenberg. As far as what the stations have been doing, KPFA, I'm going to do a quick highlight on some of their fund drives. KPFA will be entering a fund drive next week, but their winter fund drive update, they had a goal of $450,000. They reached, it might be more by now because this is the ED report that I provided to the PNB at the last meeting. They were 90% of their goal as of the beginning of April, and they had reached $408,000. Highlights of some of the some of the things that KPFA did is they had a Grateful Dead marathon that raised $39,000. They got 351 new monthly pledges, and they also had an increase to 4,854 sustainers. They had special broadcasts during the drive. They had a live State of the Union with real-time analysis and rebuttals. They had coverage of War Powers vote in the Senate and House debates. And they also did the oversight hearing with DHS Secretary Kristi Noem. Some of the highlights that they were doing in April as well, on April 15th, they had a KPFA birthday drive with the fund. The whole day was dedicated to celebrating KPFA and their anniversary. They had a fundraising goal of $30,000. And they were on the 18th of April, they had a birthday celebration with a special screening of the documentary KPFA on the Air. And they rented out a movie theater in Alameda, and the whole audience was filled with donors and people that have been part of KPFA for a while. I was fortunate enough to be able to be there, and it was quite a lovely event. The birthday celebration was then moved on to the California Historical Radio Society Museum, where they rented that out as well. There was food and music and just an overall great celebration. It did make me realize, though, as I watched the documentary, which I believe was made in 1999, that we need to make a new one that is updated and covers the history and the success of all of our stations. So the documentarian in me, which is what I used to do back in the day, kind of kicked my excitement to try to get something new produced. On May 23rd, they're also having a fundraising event with the John Santos Sextet. So please go to KPFA's website if you are in the area and get tickets for that. With KPFK, one of the things that we've been doing at most of the stations this year as well, this past month as well, is promoting a special screening of Amy Goodman's Steal This Story, Please. KPFA had a screening on the 19th. As also a fundraising event. And KPFK had their event on April 17th. They hosted a special screening, as I said, of Steal the Story, Please, with Amy Goodman. Amy was in attendance, and it was followed by Q&A with the filmmakers that were there. I don't have a report yet on how much that raised, but ACE is working on that. KPFT had special programming and events. They celebrated their 56th birthday with the Crawfish Boil and Jamboree. They also, on the 18th, had their third annual's Blues Cruise, which is a fundraising event on aboard a party boat cruising Clear Lake. And they had music, DJs, and such. WBAI, their fund drive is still going on right now. I do not know what they've raised to date, but their April spring fund drive began April 1st. It will end April 30th, and they have a goal of $120,000. And WPFW, their fund drive is May 3rd through May 16th, and they have a goal of $250,000. One of the things that they've been working on April 1st through May 30th is a special programming dedicated to Jazz Appreciation Month. They are airing No Regrets, The Music and Spirit of Billie Holiday. It's going to be a 13-part radio documentary series that is currently running and will go through May 13th, and that is broadcasting every Wednesday at 5 p.m. with the rebroadcast Thursday at 2 p.m. It's a wonderful series. I've had the joy of being able to listen to it on their app, and it is exploring Billie Holiday's life, musical evolution, and the lasting impact jazz and she has had on the civil rights movement. They also had a wonderful jazz and justice celebration from Strange Fruit to Joe Hill, the intersecting of artistry and activism of Billie Holiday and Paul Robeson. That aired on April 8th, but if you didn't get a chance to hear it, please go to the WPFW archive and take a listen. On May 2nd, they're having their screening of Steal This Story, Please, the upcoming documentary, again, from Amy Goodman. And following that screening, major donors have been invited to attend a private lunch with Amy. Then they're going to close out the month of May with a special programming honoring Miles Davis. It's going to be a full day of programming dedicated to celebrating his life and his legacy and recognizing the groundbreaking contributions of jazz and modern music. I believe that is everything as far as finances. I do have to say, too, that with the national news coverage and with the news service that's providing the global headline news service, that we started a separate bank account just strictly for national news. So we're keeping every donation that is coming in for that and support through that separate, bank account so we can keep track of what's coming in and what the, and that way the national office is covering all the costs with that. Kudos to both Ursula and Bob for reaching out to donors to help support that.
Any I have questions? A question. Yeah, I do have a question. Is national news paying for itself?
It is. It is. The day of when we have these large days of coverage, it's costing no more than maybe like $3,000. Mm-hmm. We're doing it on very bare bones. As I said, we're just doing day rates for the stringer reporters at the affiliates, because we just, you know, want to be fair. Everything else is being done by staff during their regular time. So there's no overtime and any sort of, we have each of our reporters go through training before they go out into a protest, to get their press badge before they can get their press badge, just to, you know, what to expect, what not to do, what to do if you get arrested, what, you know, that kind of thing. And we have, trainers that are doing that for free, donating.
And one other question. You said that WBAI, as I recall, had a goal of $100,000. I think it was that, maybe a little more than that.
$120,000, correct.
$120,000. And you said that KPFT had a goal of $250,000. KPFT is a much smaller station. You care to discuss why their two goals are so out of
KPFA had a goal of 400.
No, KPFT.
Yeah, KPFT. I don't have KPFT's goal here. Actually, KPFT hasn't done a fund drive.
Oh, okay.
Because they've raised, they actually, the fund drive they had during when most people are having their fund drives right now, they actually were able to cancel that fund drive because of the amount of money that was raised at the other fund drive. So they're trying to trim back the amount of fund drives that they're doing and instead having special events, which are working extremely well at KPFT.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you. I see James Egerton's hand up.
Thank you, Chair. I wanted to say in response to your last question, Stephanie, that BAI, like KPFT, has other ways of raising funds that are not part of the fund drive, such as the union donations that we're all aware of, and other we fundraise every day on the air, so we have other money coming in other than at the fund drive time. So I just wanted to say initially that just so everybody's clear on this, I'm from WBAI, and I am in favor of a central services report and breaking down who pays what and when. I've been trying to light a fire under WBAI management for 15 years to make central services payments, past management and present management. And I appreciate Stephanie's go easy policy in terms of not cutting into operations. But I also want it to be open and known who's paying central services and who's not. And I also want to remind everybody how expensive things are in New York, but also remind them that it is the biggest media market in the world. And for us to have an outlet there is very valuable. And hopefully with the changes that are coming, we can improve on that and get our performance up. And it could be very valuable for the future. And even without the monetary value, it's valuable as a beacon of light in the world for us to be sending these broadcasts out. So, also I want to say that, you know, for those in the past who have criticized this committee for not, focusing strictly on financial matters, one might think that this is a PR announcement for programming, but that's okay because that's what we do. That's where the money comes from. So it's good that we're getting this PR about the programming in this meetings. It's very good. Let's see what else. I got a couple more things here.
We got two other people on the stack.
Well, why don't you let them go ahead and I'll come back.
R. Paul, your hand is up and you're muted.
There we go. All right. Getting back to the other screen. Okay. As of today, the WBAI thon tally is $114,460. That's 95% of goal.
Excellent.
And I agree with a lot of what James Sagerton said.
Michael Woodson, your hand is up.
Yeah, all right, thanks. I have a couple of questions about the news, Pacifica News. First, where did you say it was? I went to the website. I didn't see it on any corner, but that doesn't mean it's not there.
WBAI. You can go to WBAI.org, and in the upper left corner, there should be a green box that says Pacifica Network News, and it will say 5-minute headlines, and then you can click the little play button.
All right. And I know there's a lot of support on this call for the news, so perhaps my observations will be taken amiss, but I just wanted to know what the bigger plan is for the news, and there's a lot to say. I guess just who's motivating it? Are we gonna, like, suddenly the national office is organizing programming and initiating a news program? Is that part of the charge of the national office? And then, you know, bigger, do we have a plan? And, you know, the funding of that plan, and you know, how thought out is this?
Well, Michael, actually, I asked her that question and she answered it. She said that the national news is completely self-funded.
Yeah, she said
it isn't something that is coming.
I'm talking about the whole plan, Fred, not like what's happening now, ragtag.
It is not ragtag. We actually have been doing national coverage. When I say we, the national office is not involved in programming whatsoever. But we also didn't want to spearhead and create a national headline news, because we don't have anything like that. We don't pay for AP. We don't have headlines that are going out for our affiliates. And they were asking for that. So this came as trying to get, in general, coverage of some of the major events that are across the country. We started last year with the Democratic and the Republican National Conventions, and we did coverage of those events and had reporters from our affiliate stations there on the ground sharing what was happening. We did election night coverage as well, and then the No Kings protests coverage. And what was happening is that we had multiple stations doing the same thing. So rather than having each station doing their own separate coverage of election night, we decided that it would be better to have all of the stations working together with our affiliates, who were asking for packages of, are you covering the convention? Are you covering the protest? Are you covering this? And being able to create for them packages that were anywhere from, they could take all 8 hours, like KPFK, for example, took all 8 hours of coverage of the last No Kings protest in March. Whereas, you know, KPFT, I think, pulled in, like, every top of the hour, they pulled in little 5-minute clips. So this was in response to requests from our stations wanting, not all of us, we don't, why reinvent the wheel? Why have 5 separate stations covering election night when we can do Pacifica National News coverage of election night with input from each of our stations? I also didn't want to have it just coming from, this is national news from KPFA. This is national news from WBAI, because I don't want to have, oh, this is East Coast, this is West Coast. Well, why isn't Texas involved? Well, why can't LA do it? So I wanted it to become something that was shared by all of the stations and have team members from each of the stations participating in these productions. As far as financials, we, in the very beginning, we did have money that was coming in to cover the conventions and those first few groups of trainings, in case anybody got arrested. We wanted to be able to have money set aside. If somebody got hurt, we wanted to be able to have money set aside. And so way back when we were doing the conventions, Bob Hennelly was able to get close to about $50,000 in donations. Well, we're giving a soft credit to WBI for getting that, but it's not WBAI's responsibility to make sure that we pay all the stringers out in the field, because they were signing agreements with the national office, signing agreements with Pacifica Foundation, because we are the holders of the EIN. We are the ones that they are working for, and we wanted to have agreements signed with all of them. So when they're getting paid, they have to fill out their contracted employees. They get a 1099 at the end of the year. They put in their W-9, all of that. So all of that has to come out of the national office. So we're not controlling the programming, but we want to make sure that everybody is paid and it isn't any necessary work that is at the stations.
Yeah, I understand that.
And as far as the overall plan, what I can do is I can send to the National Finance Committee, because I know I sent it to the National Board a while ago when we first started this last year, is that we did create a 1, 3, and 5 year plan for the national news. It goes through what our goals are, the mission, budgets, what it's going to cost if we want to grow this. And ultimately, it would be wonderful to be able to have a national news director that is just managing these national events where we are utilizing all of the stations and utilizing as many of our affiliates as possible. So rather than that falling on the heads of the team that is putting all of this together, which is doing it above and beyond their regular daily tasks, particularly under the leadership of Ursula and Bob, but Lauren Schmidt from KPFA is putting in extra time. Jeannie Hopper, who's one of our reporter liaisons, Jenna Flanagan, Sue Goodwin from WBAI, John Amella is involved as the compliance director. Antonio is involved, from KPFA, Ace Estwick from KPFK, Shana from WPFW. Everybody's, you know, doing the work above and beyond their regular duties. But ultimately, and I can again send everybody the plan, is that it would be great to be able to have a national news director that can help manage and oversee these events.
And every time we do these things, we get more subscribers.
I didn't mean to diminish, with that.
Not at all.
I know it takes a lot of organization stuff, but I'm still trying to get at, is it the purview of the national office, to do this? How can we structure it really? And how can we make sure that, I mean, you might reference, FSRN, right? And how that went, and maybe that was a success, but it didn't survive today. So I'm wondering how we can give this some heft, that's permanent and, you know, viable.
Yes, it definitely will not be something, again, that the national office is not directing programming. I cannot direct programming myself. Either the executive director does not have the ability to do that. So it's really just creating, everything is falling under the national office, so it doesn't turn into, I'll be blunt. If this was coming out of KPFA, people on the East Coast might complain. If this was coming out of WBAI, people on the West Coast might complain. So in order to make it neutral and have all of us play together, which is great, and that's exactly what's happening, it's national news, separate bank account, bills being paid by the national office, and I'm just sitting there at the meetings in case somebody has a question. John is there in case there's a compliance issue, but all of the production, all of the brainstorming is from all the people that are involved at the stations. And it really is a joy to see. Again, as I sit back, I don't say much in the meetings except if somebody has a question, but to have the brainstorming going back and forth, between the East Coast and the West Coast, and not just, you know, WBAI and or New York and Berkeley, but to have the brainstorming between all of the stations and mapping out these, you know, grids of the production and how it's going to work and writing PSAs and announcements and recording those together. It is really quite enjoyable, and the staff is doing such a great job working together. It's quite pleasant to see.
Cool. Thanks.
Myla, you've got your hand up, and I did want to say before Myla speaks, we had the same problem with KPFA and KPFK. You know, the LA and the San Francisco markets are very different, but working together, we can actually do something that benefits everyone. Anyway, Myla, your question, please.
Yes. Stephanie, I think it would be really fantastic to have a national news director. I agree. I may sound something like a broken record here. I think that the news has always been the jewel in the crown of Pacifica. And I'm well aware of the fact that, you know, when we think in terms of budgets and funding, that we have to understand that there are people who appreciate our station and might pay $2,000 to have a luncheon with Amy Goodman, but who also support the news, but all of the money, that $2,000, does not go into the news budget. And I'd like to try to be creative and figure out a way that, you know, I think that it's important to gauge the actual support for outside of when donations come in explicitly for news. If there's some way to pull donors, people who contribute to the station, and find out whether they would like a portion of their donation to be attributed to beefing up the news department, hiring a national news director. If we could be somehow a little bit more proactive about finding out whether or not people really value and want to grow our news capability. So, you know, I just think that the metrics that we use in terms of support for individual programs and programs like news programs is usually fairly narrow and doesn't necessarily reflect the actual support for any given program or et cetera. So I know I've said it before, and I continue, and thank you for bearing with me.
I'm going to move the agenda because this was a 15-minute item and we're now in for about 45 minutes. If you haven't spoken, you have any other questions you want to ask Stephanie, now is the time to do it. Otherwise, I think we should go on to
our next question. Fred, my hand is up for a while. I would like to ask some questions once you check everybody who hasn't spoken.
Okay, James.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Well, did you want to see if anybody else had something first?
R. Martin and you have both spoken, and James, you're actually a member of this group, and so I chose you, and I'll go to R. Martin in a minute. All
right. Okay, thank you. Thank you. So first I want to say about news. News is a loss leader, always has been, everywhere, all the time, unless something dramatic has changed. And we know that, and it's okay if the news, you know, in my perspective, it's okay if the news doesn't necessarily completely pay for itself or is not some shining source of revenue, because it brings in listeners for everything else. When people hear news and they trust it, then they'll come and listen to the other programming and they'll trust that. So that's a good thing for us to do and to have, and to understand that it's a loss leader. So I want to say good for Stephanie for having separate bank accounts so we can keep accounting on how much it's costing. I do want to ask you, Stephanie, after I go through the rest of this, the difference between soft credit and hard credit in your implementation here. I'm looking for some more hard credit for the time our GM is spending doing these national items. I also want to ask if the staff that's working, the non-management staff that's working on this, I understand you said that they're working within their normal pay range, and I believe probably the same is true for the management, but I just would like to hear a confirmation of that. By the way, Sue Goodman is, I think you said, from WBAI. She's from PFW. Of course, you know that. Just a misspeaking. And I want to say, you know, perhaps tongue in cheek, I want to nominate Bob Henley for National News Director. And would like to say that it is someone mentioned about whose responsibility is. Oh, Stephanie, you were talking about your responsibility for what goes out of the air. We all know that, of course, the the general managers are responsible by law for what goes out over the air. And just wanted to add that to Stephanie's statement for context. And that's all I got for the moment. Thank you.
Arpal?
Okay. Very fast. If people are looking for the Pacifica Network news, it isn't quite in the upper right-hand corner. That sort of depends on how you have your browser configured. When you get there, you'll see something about your health. Underneath that, there's something that says Listen Live. And immediately to the right of that is the green box that says Pacifica Network News. You can click on it and hear it right there. Thank you.
And Stephanie, you know, we've been doing a lot of PNB work here tonight rather than NFC work. That's okay. But it would be nice if you could send a directive to all the divisions that says they need to put that button up there so that they can see it, and maybe a nice logo for Pacifica National News.
We are in the process of creating a logo, and I have created about 3 or 4 of them. And we're working on that. Yes.
Thank you. So, I'm going to now move the agenda. We have kind of talked about central services. Is there any more to say about central services?
No, we'll create the report that is needed that Markeisha was working on.
Great. And are there any questions that haven't been asked about central services? Seeing no questions, let's move on to when we next meet, which is an issue of dear and importance to Myla. Myla, why don't you take this?
Okay. I need to pull up the KPFTX to see what the conflicts are, but I have serious conflicts on the fourth Tuesday of each month.
Okay. Does anybody?
So let me. When I looked at it before, I thought that the second. Let me just pull that up really quickly. So that
we have all 5 voting members of the NFC right here, right now.
I know.
So this is something we can actually cue us right here. We did this by the email and find out what people are available. I mean, that's the big problem.
So let me just say, Fred, that there are no meetings on the second Tuesday of each month on the KPFT.
Stephanie can't make that.
Oh.
I thought it was the third. No?
And the second Tuesday, Stephanie can't make.
Yeah.
And there are other, WBAI has a committee of inclusion on the third Tuesday. And,
that's at 7 p.m. Eastern, so that's not a concern.
7 p.m. is 5 o'clock, West Coast.
Hey, Stephanie? Can you confirm which Tuesday cannot make?
Yes, that is the second. It is the second Tuesday.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. So we went through this. I think that this is something that needs to be done over the internet. We can put together a little grid, but there's always going to be a problem because everybody's got issues. We went through this process before, and that's where we came up with the fourth Tuesday.
Well, I don't know. I contacted you quite a while ago about this, and it was at any rate.
Yes, you did, but we'd already made that determination.
But what about the first, Stephanie, is the first Tuesday or the third Tuesday available for you?
I sit corrected. It is the third Tuesday.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, the third Tuesday. Treasurer of a community foundation in my tent.
So you're open on the second Tuesday of the month?
Yes.
And we used to meet on the second Tuesday and the fourth Tuesday.
Right.
And I'm asking that we shift to the second Tuesday if possible.
Hey, so, Michael Woodson, are you available on the second Tuesday?
Yes.
James Egerton, are you available on the second Tuesday?
Yes.
Julie Hewitt, are you available on the second Tuesday? Stephanie's available on the second Tuesday, correct? And I'm available on the second Tuesday. So Julie Hewitt can make it on the second Tuesday, then we can change that to the second Tuesday.
Well, I appreciate that. And we'll have to check in with Julie.
Somebody can give her a call, maybe. Okay. Just.
Hey, Fred.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, this is not about the meeting date. So okay. Whenever.
Well, somebody make
a comment about the meeting dates, if I could.
Go ahead.
Okay, I want to just to quickly say that, you know, of course, we want to try and accommodate everybody to get maximum attention, but I'm concerned about going from two meetings a month to one meeting a month simply because all the things that were laid out as goals for us, as you mentioned earlier, Chair, in the meeting about following up how the stations are doing with their budgets, and, you know, other current matters, especially, you know, current financial reporting in terms of financial reports, profit and loss statements, revenue and expenses, if you will. It would be, in my idea, it's premature to go down to one meeting a month, but if we have to, I'm fine with doing it. You know, and that's why, in fact, I think there was a proposal on the table, or at least it had been submitted by one of the non-voting members to meet once every 3 months, in other words, quarterly. And I, you know, there was no way we could do everything that I just mentioned meeting quarterly. And I think it's obvious from tonight's meeting and from other meetings, we're not really able to do it meeting monthly. So anyway, that's just a general comment. Thank you.
And my general response is that we are actually doing it. We were actually accomplishing a lot, and we have gotten a commitment from our ED and our business manager to give us data at least quarterly. And, Markeisha said she could even do it more often than that. I have never seen anything that says this. And so I think we're making an enormous progress. You know, frankly, we have made an enormous progress in the last year because we are actually getting all the stations on the same program in terms of generating revenues and paying their bills, paying their central services. It's hard. It's pulling teeth, literally. But it is happening, and I'm very, very proud of the work that we're all doing to get us there. We can call meetings anytime with 7 days notice, but to schedule two meetings a month when one of the things that we were supposed to be looking at today was looking at the job descriptions that and policies that nobody had, you know, we've had that on the table for over a month, 2 months maybe. And last time we met, I asked who had read it, and it was me and one other person. So I would like to do a lot of our work offline. You know, I would like it, you know, for us to go over this. I know that Stephanie, I'm on the personnel committee, and Stephanie is working really, really hard to create a org chart for the entire organization. Also to create specific expectations of what the job descriptions are and what the responsibilities are and what the pays are. These are all things that are really related to finance. And we it's nice to talk about programming, but my big issue with programming, I love it. I love that we are doing a national news program. Make no mistakes about that. But my thing as chair of the NFC is it paying its way? How are we paying it? Is it getting done? That's where I am, and that's where I see the NFC. If other people see the NFC in a different place, you know, that's fine, but I don't see it that way. I think that our job, like the PNB's job, is to hire the ED and give them the tools that they need to do the job. The NFC is to make sure that we are actually paying our bills. We're actually getting our income. Julie Hewitt, you have a question.
No, I don't have a question. I just, sorry, I couldn't find my phone before or couldn't find the buttons. So
we have a question for you. Can you meet on the second Tuesday?
Yes, I can.
Okay. All right.
That's what I was trying to say I could do. Sorry.
Is there any objection? Can it be moved? Let us, someone move that we make our regular monthly PNB meeting on the second Tuesday of every month.
So moved.
Chair, this is James.
Yes.
You said there was there any chin, so I'll just say Yeah, I object. I think we should still be meeting twice a month. I'm not going to argue with it, with you about it. And I stand by my statements, after which you made your statement. I stand by what I said. Thank you.
Good. And I stand by what I said. So, hearing no objection, we are Michael, you're.
I just want to make a comment. I know this is, a little water on the bridge, but I thought we were going to take up the idea of, you know, the problem of, central services. And we sort of elided that with Stephanie's report. So,
I would be welcome a discussion on the central services.
Yeah, because, you know, clearly, you know, things are happening like the elections, the audit, these have to be paid for. And, I heard it said that, we're gaining ground on that cause, but I don't have notes here that indicate as much. Like the same stations haven't paid central services. So is there a plan, to get this under wraps? And I mean, what does the committee feel about, where we stand with central services?
Well, I think that's a wonderful question. Stephanie, do you want to handle that or should we go to the committee?
Well, what we're doing with the audit and the election is that we have, because the national office has already put out the money for the audit. So it was a pretty, you know, pretty big hit in our account. So what we've done, and we forewarned all the general managers months in advance, is that we divided the cost of the audit and the election by seven, the five stations, the affiliates, and the national office. And we sent out information to each of the stations to let them know what that cost will be. And it is being deducted from their accounts on a monthly basis to pay for the audits and the election.
That's not central services, though. And
it's
I
not
totally
central services,
that.
No.
And I also
but that's
need
the
to
only
know-
way that we can cover some of these costs when we're not getting central service payments.
And the other issue is the national office doesn't have a revenue stream except from the divisions.
We do have a revenue stream from donors and foundations.
Oh, good. Okay, great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, who pays for the elections and the audits, each station on their own?
We don't we usually take that from central service payments. In the past, from the audits and the elections were paid for by the stations divided up, including the national office. And we haven't done that over the past couple of years, but because this is a much bigger hit and we're not getting a lot of central services from the stations, we are dividing it up amongst the stations to help offset those costs.
Let me paraphrase Michael's question. How are we getting WBAI and KPFK to pay central services?
They need to raise the money that would not put them in a precarious place. They need to raise more money in order to pay that. KPFK is probably, they're not raising money, but they did receive a bequest, but they're kind of living off of that bequest right now. So we work with them very closely. So by at least getting money to help offset the cost of the audit and the election, it's not full central services, but at least it's something that they're paying.
How about in the case of WBAI?
The same thing. I mean, they're making everybody's making payroll and health benefits. I mean, the national office, we pay for health benefits in advance. You have to pay a month in advance for health benefits and such. So anytime that we get any income from the stations for health benefits, it's just a reimbursement. And the same with the audit and the taxes and things like that. We have to pay for all of that in advance. So it's really just reimbursing us for money that's already been spent. There's a substantial tower rent bill that's still due at WBAI. So right now that's our priority to try to have them pay down some of that.
Did that answer your question, Michael?
Well, yeah. I'd just like to know the sense of the committee if we have a solution to the problem. I mean, we're being very descriptive about it and have been for a year. And I don't think it's the Finance Committee's purview. It's not our role to like come up with a solution, maybe.
Yeah, but, I mean, the solution is more listeners.
we need more listeners.
Yeah. So we need to do everything we can to increase the, and a lot of it is the programming is good. I think we're lacking in marketing as well. Yes, there are certain programs that need to be changed, you know, with programming, in order to increase the listeners. But a lot of it too is getting word out. There really is no marketing. A lot of our websites are really pretty sucky. We're trying to send out more press releases when we have events that are happening. Our social media is completely sort of unorganized and out of control, but we're trying to get a better grasp as to who manages each account with the social media. We've had a lot of people who have good intentions, but they have access to or control of social media and it's not consistent. We're not branding properly. So there's a lot of, you know, but again, we don't have a marketing department, the marketing.
A little anecdote. I don't know if it'll help. I think Roy of Hollywood back in the day, came to KPFK and he's like, or KPFT, and he's like, you know, teaching us how to pitch, you know, something as simple as like, it's not, you know, I'm on the radio. So I know it's like not fun, not easy, tedious. And, you know, pitching training or something like that, you know, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's a very valid point. We do have that going on at some of the stations. And one of the things that we're doing right now that we're rolling out at the stations as well is a deeper evaluation of each of the programs. So it's not, are we giving every programmer what they need to succeed? And succeed is, you know, is your program meeting the mission of Pacifica? And I have a whole guideline programming grid that, I mean, criteria that can be asked of programmers. And it's not in any way to say, what are you doing with your show? It's not in a negative way. It's to figure out, you know, what are you doing, you know, to change up your programming? Do you have enough support? What can we do to help you? Do you know how to put your program on audio port? Is your program just going to your station, or would you be interested in having it go across the, you know, across the network rather than being in just one city? You could be in 250 cities. What are you trained to do that? Do you know how to pitch? Do you know what that means? And creating those guidelines of asking each programmer, this is how many listeners you have. This is how much money you're raising against, this is what it costs Pacifica every hour that you're on the air. So we also want the programmers to be able to, kind of re-pitch their show every year. It isn't necessarily guaranteed that you're going to be on next year, you know, just like any other television program or something. You have to kind of have that pitch as to what you're going to do next season, quote unquote. So we're trying to have programmers think in that longer term. Is that, what can I do to increase the listeners to my program? What help do I need? Is that marketing? Is that, you know, do I need help on teaching me how to pitch? Do I need, you know, I can write press releases. Can I write them for you? You know, or whatever, with the programmers, and really getting them more engaged, that they are not just their hour on their show and that's it, but they are part of a much bigger network. So we are rolling that out at different stations, and we're in the process right now at WPFW doing that. KPFA had started that process, and so they're still continuing with that. But, you know, we also I think WPFW will be doing an open call. The new general manager is wanting to bring in fresh voices, fresh programs, and they're going to, I don't know when the season or when that pitch will be, but they're going to do an open call for new programmers, new voices, new sounds, younger voices, and, you know, have people pitch what they would like to be on the station. And they'll have to go through that same process. You know, give us a pitch deck, give us a plan. What are your first 6 weeks of programming going to look like? Who are your guests going to be? What topics are you going to be, you know, cover?
Brilliant. And Michael, I'd like to say one other thing. My pushing for these data figures is part of how we are moving this forward, by actually finding out whether the stations are floundering or they are increasing their subscriber base, their donation base. You know, and that's why I pushed that particular issue, is that as a National Finance Committee, we need to know who's floundering and who's flourishing. And KPFT seems to be doing quite well.
Yeah, our fund drive is May 21st, by the way, so it's coming up.
Good.
And I think pitch training is a great idea, and that's up to the program directors, too, to be able to know who in their station are great pitchers and who could lead a training like that. And I, you know, because we're going to do a training on how to ask for money, how to write grants, you know, those kind of things as well at the stations. But to be able to have a pitch training session would be great. And that would come from recommendations from the stations as to who does a great job at their station doing that. And then we can, you know,
share that with the network. Correct. Find the people we have in our network who are delivering and then help them teach other people how to deliver. I mean, I ran a sales team of 17 people, and we had people come in on a regular basis telling us, showing us, actually acting out how you close a deal. And I would really hope that Pacifica National would eventually have that same kind of attitude. And we paid money for it, which unfortunately we don't have right now. Any other questions?
Are we going to do the budget, the policy manual?
I'm going to suggest that we don't do it. Let me ask you first off, Michael, have you read the policy manual?
I looked over some of the corrections. Yeah. And I would say I read it, but that's okay.
You know. Well, if you've read it and you've made notes and you've made corrections, could you please send them? And I will send out the ones I've got. Julie Hewitt, have you looked over the policy manual? Myla, have you looked over the policy manual?
I have not had a chance to. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Sorry.
Myla, have you looked over the policy manual?
Oh, well, I put 22 consecutive weekly editions of Solartopia on AudioCorp.
We love that.
And no, I have not.
Okay. James, have you looked over the policy manual?
Yes, I did. And in fact, I did it the last time we asked this question. And
Do you have it written down and you could send it to all of us?
Well, I disagree with your theory that we should be doing this offline. I think part of what makes Pacifica what it is and a great thing is that we do these things in public. I think we should be doing this in public meetings so that people know what we're doing. You know, not everybody wants to know what we're doing, but some do. And it gives us a claim to fame, shall we say.
That policy manual borders on the line of personnel issues. Policy manual shared, you know, like we could do this in executive session, but you know, there are substantial differences of opinion about what our policy should be and how they should be moved forward. So I disagree with you respectfully.
Well, I don't see how the policy could be involved in personnel. Personnel involves talking about specific individuals. And that's not what the policy manual does. If you've read it, it doesn't do that. It talks about general procedures, and that's, you know, that's good. And that's fair game.
It also talks about expectations.
Yeah. Well, that's not a violation of a personnel. That's not a personnel issue in terms of an individual. It's just a general policy that applies to all individuals. And that's good, but we should be talking about these things in public.
Well, and just one. I would think the policy manual then would be discussed in the personnel the committee.
Sorry, say again. I'm sorry. I was talking.
I would think that then, if that's what you think, that the policy manual should be discussed in the personnel committee, not the NFC.
Well,
part of it is, yeah.
You're also, but as I've said before, the NFC has always functioned as kind of a place where we can talk about general things and that have to do with finances. And I don't object to that. And I think because of the nature of the committee, it's a good place to do those things. It's not strictly in the nature of a finance committee, as you might find in other corporations, you know, that are more, mainstream, shall we say, but it's a specific.
And that aren't $20 million in debt.
We're supposed to be open and membership driven, membership you know, that's why we became a political organization. And it's, I agree sometimes that's
a political organization.
Yes. Yes. We became political, decided to have elections for board members that turned us into politics. And it just hasn't always been good, but it's certainly unique. It's unique in the world. We have a non-commercial membership, democratically controlled organization. And personally, I think we should preserve that.
So we've agreed to change the meeting dates to the second Tuesday, and there are no objections to that, correct?
Well, I did object.
Well, you made your objection. I know what you're saying, but we are, I'm trying to get
that motion passed.
Schedule the next motion. Yeah.
We have Could I have one quick question, just kind of informally, to Stephanie? It says in the policy, in this, manual that the 8% central services, that's not accurate, is it?
8%
The central service is more like 16% of stations.
I believe it's 15, correct.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know why it says 8. I guess there's a low bar for, you know, what's expected. So look at that in the manual.
It was a motion we passed to define self-sustaining. You had to be at least 8%. It came out of this committee.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It came out of this committee because we were trying to make amends for WBAI and KPFK,
yeah, who are unable to pay those. Okay, I understand that. That's one of the things I noticed. But thank you for that.
I have a hand up.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yes. One. Yes, I have looked at the two manuals, and I have some notes, but they're talking notes. And I agree with James Sagerton. We've been drilled for years by people in Pacifica that we have to do our stuff before the public. Moving on. I'll note regarding central services, the WBAI general manager has been doing a lot of work for Pacifica. And I'm thinking, you know, WBAI should get at least some credit for that. I mean, you know, he's paid as part of WBAI's budget, and if a whole bunch of that work time is going to Pacifica and all these other projects in Pacifica, we should get some consideration for that. That's my thought right there. A second thing with regard to what the executive director said about programs, tell the programmers how much they cost and what they're making and what the difference is. I will note a thing that people have to keep in mind is that shows that are basically overnight cannot possibly get as many listeners as drive time programs do. And so that really has to be nuanced a bit. Otherwise, you're going to make some calculations that aren't going to make any sense, and you're liable to kill the overnights. As disclosure, I do an overnight program. So those are my thoughts. Thank you.
We take all that into consideration.
Okay.
Any other comments?
No, I said I'm done.
Question for Stephanie. She mentioned the telebilling. And is that the call service for WBAI from the past?
Telebilling?
I thought that's what you said when you were talking about, I guess it was arrearages. Was the telebilling the call center that WBI was using? Actually, all the stations used it during COVID. I think we were the first ones.
I don't think I use the term telebilling because it sounds funky coming out of my mouth, so I don't remember saying that. So I don't know. There's billing. There's the tower. Maybe tower
billing.
I probably spoke too fast.
No, you said tower billing.
Okay. Yeah.
And
there's no phone service. It's being used at WBAI.
No, it's a tower, and it's due. We owe, what, $140,000?
A little
more.
A little more. Yeah. But we're in conversation with them. So we don't just, you know, we don't bury our heads in the sand when there is a bill that is due.
Thank God.
We talk to people.
That's new at Pacifica.
We talk to people. Yes.
Is there anything else we're going to hear moved to adjourn?
So moved.
I hear a second. Any objection? We're adjourned.
All right. Thank you all.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you, James. Thank you, Myla. Thank you, Stephanie, especially. Thank you, Julie. I forgot anybody. No, ER Paul, Jen Goodman. Anyway, see y'all.
Good night.
Thanks everyone for accommodating my schedule. I appreciate
Second Tuesday.